You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This news program, but just about every other, has documented in great detail the repeated failures of Donald Trump on just about every aspect of this pandemic. But the president, if these numbers end up playing out the way it's looking, if in fact there is a 90 to 95% effective rate, and we have millions of Americans by the end of this year being able to take a safe vaccine that makes them immune from the coronavirus, then that's one legacy Donald Trump will take with him out of the White House, and that is that Operation Warp Speed will be considered an unqualified success.
November the 25th, 2020, that's Joe Scarborough, MSNBC, saying that Trump should get credit. Trump gets credit for this warp speed production to get pharmaceutical companies rapidly moving forward with the vaccine for COVID-19 or the China flu. Even Jake Tapper had to recently admit, I think you got to give Trump credit on this. Boy, they do not want to. Believe me, they don't want to, but it's pretty hard for them to ignore at this point. And while we're in the midst of doing that, we still continue to have a lot of confusion as to what is going on with it. Well, first of all, let's get an update again from Dr. Redfield, CDC director, on when the vaccines will be rolled out, where it's going to go first.
The vaccine is going to begin to be rolled out probably by the end of the second week of December, initially in a hierarchical way, nursing home residents, and then some combination of healthcare providers and individuals at high risk for a poor outcome. And those decisions are in the process of being finalized as we speak. I do think we'll have about 40 million doses of vaccine before the end of the first year of the year. That's enough to vaccinate 20 million people. But then it will continue through January and February, and hopefully by March we'll start to see vaccine available for the general public.
Again, that's Dr. Redfield, the CDC director. And now we're going into the holiday, and you've been told stay home, don't travel, and limit the folks who are at your house. In fact, some governors have even suggested if you see more people gathering in a home than should be, call 911. That's the word from the Oregon governor. Call 911, report it. You know what they're doing in New York City? Sheriff's teams are on the spot at various checkpoints looking for anyone. They'll be conducting checkpoints at curbside drop-off bus stops, out-of-state buses and so forth. They're going to be checking also bridges and transportation of cars going to and from. They want to make sure that you're going to be quarantined if you're coming in. And, of course, the crackdown continues on businesses and restaurants in particular. The L.A. County Board Supervisors meeting now saying, admitting, we don't have any scientific evidence proving that outdoor dining is a problem whatsoever. None. But they're still pushing it. They're still pushing and making people close down businesses. If you look at the Biden plans for his cabinet, you're looking at Obama third term. Look at the appointments, the plans. But will progressives Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren get a seat at that table? That could be a point of contention for Joe Biden as he tries to move forward. And how do you think Biden will deal with China? Some believe that China will be playing Biden just like a fine-tuned instrument. We're going to be joined by Ding Chen, expert on China military and how China will or will not relate to Biden and what we can expect. That'll be coming up later in this hour. And while we're looking at trying to make things better and safer, when we hear Biden talk about we're going to make this a better country, a safer country, take note of this. Seattle City Council cutting the police department budget by 18%. That's less than the 50% the activists wanted, but 18% cut, that is apparently one of the largest budget cuts this year at major police departments. New York City Council, of course, approved almost $1 billion takeaway from the New York City Police Department. But you're supposed to feel safe. I know you want to get ready in the Thanksgiving spirit, and I'm going to help you do that before we wrap. But right now, we do have a lot of material that we need to cover for you. You don't have to discuss it at the dinner table at Thanksgiving tomorrow, but you should know it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand, and Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tell me about day one in the White House and day one through 100, your first 100 days. What are your priorities going to be in those first days?
Some of it's going to depend on the kind of cooperation I can or cannot get from the United States Congress. But I am going to make a commitment in the first 100 days. I will send a immigration bill to the United States Senate with a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people in America.
That's a response of Joe Biden in an interview he did with Lester Holt of NBC. What are you going to do in the first 100 days? I'm going to send an amnesty deal for more than 11 million illegals to the U.S. Senate. You see again why it's going to be very important who controls the Senate as we move forward. The race in Georgia, January 5 is the voting date in Georgia. Two Republican senators fighting to stay in the Senate, each facing a Democrat opponent funded by big money, including Bloomberg gun control cities money. And when Biden says he wants to push forward with this, he says, I'm going to need cooperation for the U.S. Congress, obviously, but I'm going to send it to the Senate right away. Now, there are already a number of Senate Republicans suggesting they will work with Biden on some sort of immigration deal. Senators Graham, South Carolina, Cornyn of Texas, Grassley of Iowa, all hinting that they might be striking a deal. But exactly to what extent and how? And that's going to be the key point. And don't forget, we had on, I think maybe a week or so ago, an expert on international affairs and amnesty and illegals. saying that already caravans are forming in Central America, making their way up through Central America, through Mexico. They want to be at our border the day Joe Biden is inaugurated so they can rush across. They want to get inside that amnesty period. Exit polling after the election indicates that voters across party and racial lines overwhelmingly want less overall immigration to the U.S. More than 3 in 4 voters important to reduce immigration with continued high unemployment. Currently, we have about 25 million Americans either jobless or underemployed, and of course, they're looking for a full-time job. A Rasmussen poll shows that Democrats are moving towards pro-American migration policies as Joe Biden wants to move forward. They believe, 54% of the Democrats, it's better for businesses to raise the pay and try to harder to recruit non-working Americans, even if it caused prices to rise. And if you suddenly issue amnesty, we've been down this road before, what's that going to mean when it comes to the economy moving forward? There will be probably some give and take on this. You're going to have to accept it. Some of the Republican senators are indicating they will, but how far they're going to go? And they have already been reminded by many Republicans, we elected you to hold the line and stop illegal immigration. And now you're going to give them another blanket amnesty again? And then also look at the appointments that Biden is making for his cabinet already. You know what I see? I see third term of Obama. That's pretty much what it amounts to. Because a lot of these folks coming in, well, Senator Tom Cotton summed it up. One thing's for certain, he said, Joe Biden's Democrat team, dream team, has a lot of fancy titles. They've worked in Washington a long time. But he's also saying the liberal media now swooning over the A-team of hyper-competitive, incredibly kind Obama-Biden alums getting back together. He said the same Obama-Biden experts stood by while ISIS established a caliphate and started beheadings in the Middle East, treating ISIS as a JV team. The same Obama-Biden brain trust that negotiated the nuclear deal with Iran. The Islamic Republic got cash up front for its terrorism abroad in exchange for temporary nuclear restrictions that wouldn't have begun to sunset even now. And Senator Cotton adds the Ayatollahs can't believe their luck that it's coming around again. Senator Marco Rubio says this national security team that Biden is putting forward would be basically polite and orderly caretakers of America's decline. Let me read more of his statement for you. Senator Marco Rubio, Biden's cabinet picks went to Ivy League schools. They have strong resumes, attend all the right conferences, and will be polite and orderly caretakers of America's decline. I support American greatness, and I have no interest in returning to the normal that left us dependent on China. We're going to be joined later in this hour by Dean Chan of the Heritage Foundation, an expert on China, on its military and how China would try to play Biden moving forward. And look at the nominations we're talking about already. There are already some big problems about some of these nominations. And you know our guest we have from time to time from the West Coast, James Herson, New York Times bestselling author, columnist for Newsmax and so forth. He made a point to state on one of his tweets that says, Biden is climate czar. John Kerry owns an $11 million beachfront home on Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, that's the kind of people that are going to tell you how you should live your life and what kind of climate changes we're going to have. And Biden has already indicated, one of the other things I'm going to do in the first 100 days or so, we're going to jump back into the Paris Climate Accord. Trump pulled us out, I'm going back in. And most everyone has acknowledged, if they're being truthful, that whole thing is a sham. Nobody's doing what they said they were going to do anyway. But you know why they will want us in? The dollars, the money. And then you have to ask also about some of these appointments coming in. You've got a lot on the progressive left that are a little concerned because so far they don't see some of their top names in there. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has already complained that I don't think we're going to get what we want, and you better remember who put you there, Joe Biden. Of course, don't forget Kamala Harris is standing right behind you. If you misstep, we think she will fulfill what we want. And you've got Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, who finally kind of gave up the ghost and said, okay, let's support Biden, expecting Biden's going to do everything that he wants moving forward. And Senator Elizabeth Warren. Well, there was a question that Lester Holt raised for him on that NBC interview. And it basically comes down to a question. Listen to the answer. Listen how Biden phrases the answer. Because inside that answer, some would say it's a nuance. Some would say it's just a small clue. Some would say, if you know what he's saying, it's a megaphone in a response to Bernie and Warren becoming part of his cabinet and his real administration. The question, answer.
What about former rivals from your own party, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren? Have you talked to them about cabinet positions?
Well, what I've talked to them. Look, as I said, we already have significant representation among progressives in our administration, but there's nothing really off the table. But one thing is really critical. Taking someone out of the Senate, taking someone out of the House, particularly a person of consequence, is a really difficult decision that have to be made. I have a very ambitious, very progressive agenda, and it's going to take really strong leaders in the House and Senate to get it done.
Did you get the answer? Do you think Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren got the answer they wanted to hear? Quentin, I'd like to start that again. I want to pick it, and we'll take it with Lester Holt's question, and then we'll get just enough to say, that's it, there's your answer. But it's kind of befuddled, or at least he's trying to muddle the water a little bit. Listen.
What about former rivals from your own party, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren? Have you talked to them about cabinet positions?
Well, I've talked to them. Look, as I said, we already have significant representation among progressives in our administration.
We've already got sufficient representation among progressives in our administration. The question was, have you talked? Well, I kind of talked to, but we already have significant representation. Bernie, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you can go back to your Indian reservation. Bernie, you need to go find some place to sit down for a while. Now, what Biden also tries to say, hey, I need support. I need leadership in Congress. And so by having Senators Biden and Warren in there, well, then, you know, I will want to make sure that that Bernie and Warren in there, that we're going to have help that I need. They're smart enough to know. Hey, if you give me a cabinet position, we will appoint from my state somebody to fill my seat, and it will be another Democrat who will walk in stride with you. But he's already dodging and ducking around, and it's going to be very interesting to see how Biden tries to deal with this push from the left, because it's going to increase. They didn't just get their foot in the door to stand there and talk to you and barely stay inside the room. No, they want to come in and take over. And I will remind you, of course, in case you have any doubts about it, there are many, and of course mostly Republicans, do not believe this presidential election was free or fair. A Morning Consult survey, 63% of Republicans say it was not fair. And only 3% of the Trump supporters accept the fact that Biden won. You can have the challenges. The legal challenges are going to continue. They're not going to just go away right away, but we're moving toward a fast and hard date. The Electoral College meeting in December, Inauguration Day in January. You may or may not be a Trump supporter. You may or may not believe this election was fair. But at some point, reality hits you in the face. It is what it is. I hope I'm not belaboring the point that many times in sports, as you see a call on the field, everybody sees it's wrong. Even the opposing team knows, oh, we got a good call there. And they review the play, and no, they still stand by the call on the field. And a week or so later, the commissioner of the sport comes forward and said, yeah, that was a bad call, our bad. We'll try to do better next time. But it is done. It's over. Game done. You want to put an asterisk by this beside this election? You could do that. And keep in mind, many of these appointees that Biden is considering, Alejandro Mayorkas for Homeland Security, caught in a Inspector General's report about maybe doing special things to help high-ranking Democrats get visas cleared for people they wanted. And his national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, was an advisor for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and defended the dossier their campaign paid for on President Trump. I cannot let you go without hearing this. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, according to some, the Washington Post, could return for a fourth act in D.C., this time as defense secretary or another top job. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. And Obama taking a swipe at minorities who voted for Trump. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
People were surprised about a lot of Hispanic folks who voted for Trump. But there's a lot of evangelical Hispanics who, you know, the fact that Trump says racist things about Mexicans or puts detainees, undocumented workers in cages, they think that's less important than the fact that, you know, he supports their views on, you know, gay marriage or abortion.
Well, that's the remarks of former President Barack Obama taking a shot at Hispanics who voted for Donald Trump. You're just evangelical? Well, I'd be glad to be called evangelical. And he said, remember that Trump said racist things about Mexicans? He did not. And puts undocumented workers in cages, which used the cages, as they're calling them, that Obama administration had built when he was president. But now they all just kind of walk away. And then, of course, it says, and they support him because they like his view on gay marriage. Well, remember Obama originally went into office, he was against gay marriage, remember? But he evolved, as he said. And we're told that despite that parting shot by Obama, and that's referenced Mexican-Americans, what's he got to say about black Americans who supported Trump? What's their problem? Well, he didn't discuss that. He just singled out Hispanics. But we're told that this will be a time of healing. I mentioned to you earlier that Joe Biden's cabinet appointments look like a Obama third term. You know what he said in pushing back on that criticism? He said, this is not a third Obama term. Right, right. Well, I'm looking at all the cabinet picks he's made and their attitude. And I mentioned a moment ago, Hillary Clinton could possibly resurface again. Dum, 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 just when you thought it was safe to get in the water. Dum, 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 Jaws. Hillary Clinton is back. Going in possibly as defense secretary? Hillary Benghazi Clinton? Surely not. And of course, don't forget, many want to go right after Trump's throat. They've done it for the last 4 years. They want to continue. Now, Biden said in this interview with NBC, well, I'm not going to push for any federal prosecution or use the DOJ for that. I'm not going to do it. Well, Andrew Weissman, an MSNBC contributor, top deputy of former special counsel Robert Mueller, is specifically asking Biden to prosecute Trump. Prosecute him. In an op-ed for the New York Times, he said, investigate Trump and, if warranted, prosecute him for potential federal crimes. I've got a response on one of my pages from a listener, Patrick, saying, if Biden does prevail, I hope they torture him with impeachment tenfold. Every day, bring impeachment charges against him. And, of course, Biden's also said, I'm going to open the door, too. It's going to be a healing time. I'm even going to be open to appointing some Republicans, some who might have voted for Trump. Let me make this clear to you. Any Republican that takes a position with the Obama cabinet administration, they may have an R behind their name, but I would not call them a conservative. What about you? Now the big issue is, how is Hunter Biden going to get into the White House? Oh, which brings me to the discussion about China. How is China planning to play Joe Biden? We've got an expert coming up for you. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Now before I could walk, I had a guitar in my hand. By the time I could talk, I had my own band. I went on the road when I was 8 years old. When I turned 15, I was stealing the show. Money to burn and the girls are pretty. It didn't take me long to learn it. I was born to boogie.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, the question will be, how will Joe Biden deal with China compared to how Trump has dealt with China? Trump got right in their face on these tariffs, and China blinked more than once. Are we going to go back to the "we will beat them with a wet noodle" approach that we've seen in the past? Joining us now, Ding Chan, expert in China military and space capabilities with the Heritage Foundation, expert on all things related to China. Glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Let's go through first the military might and so forth of what we should expect from China over the next 5 years. I noticed that you wrote a piece that appeared in Defense Industry, Breaking Defense, titled Breaking Defense. And what do you see China doing in the next 5 years regarding their national security and their military in comparison to ours?
So 2020 marked the end of what the Chinese call their initial phase of military modernization. We've seen the Chinese Navy now become the largest Navy in the world, larger than the U.S. Navy. The Chinese Air Force is the largest Air Force in the world, larger than the U.S. Air Force. People say, yeah, they got a lot of stuff, but are they any good at it? They fly as many hours as we do, maybe more. They are increasingly spending time at sea. Their army is regularly conducting various training operations. So the next phase, as they put it, is to become fully informationized and fully mechanized. There are parts of the Chinese military that still marches to war, and those guys are all going to be in armored personnel carriers. But more importantly, they are expecting that their military will be able to hack, will be able to fly UAVs, will be able to use satellites, will be able to do cyber operations. Pretty much they expect by 2027 to look a lot like our military.
Or better, possibly. Because I've heard from many military sources, I know you have as well, that our pilots are not getting the time in the air they need to stay proficient.
They're not. Certainly once upon a time, it was a given that we flew way more hours than our Soviet and communist Chinese counterparts. Nowadays, we fly maybe about the same. But, hey, you know, I mean, when everybody's getting their sensitivity training, I suppose our military is probably at the top.
You're right. You're right about that. And now we talk about China also and military, the naval might that you mentioned, and the battle over the disputed waters. I mean, so far we've been pretty much making it clear we will go through these areas. They're international waters, and we will help guard others go through. But what do you see China trying to do going forward?
Well, I will point out that we do this now, but we've only been doing it again since January 2017. Something happened in January 2017.
Let me see.
Something like a leadership change.
Oh, yeah, that's right, a new president. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Before that, from 2012 until 2015, we conducted no freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea. And after John McCain called out then-Secretary of Defense Ash Carter on it, we conducted four half-hearted measures between 2015 and 2016. And now we have the vice president of the time, who is apparently going to be the new president, coming back in. You know, he was in charge of China issues during the Obama administration.
Yes.
And so
and Ukraine. Go ahead.
And Ukraine. So the question is really not so much what are the Chinese going to do, because the Chinese really haven't changed their pattern of behavior very much over the last 8 to 10 years, as what we are going to do and whether we are going to conduct freedom of navigation operations and make it very clear that this is international waters, or whether we're going to accede once again to the idea of, you know, let's not rock that boat.
You're listening to Dean Chan with the Heritage Foundation, and I've been promoting and talking about this story. And I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but my approach has been as to how China will play Biden going forward.
Well, this past election season, foreign policy never really came into it, right? Not in the debates, not in the press conferences and the interviews, not very much at all. But what we do know is during one of the debates, then Vice President Biden basically said the most important threat confronting the United States, an existential threat, is climate change. Now, President Obama seemed to feel the same way, and it would seem that in order to get the Chinese on board for things like COP21, we were prepared to give some ground on less existential threats like the South China Sea and arms sales to Taiwan. So we're kind of, you know, if I'm the Chinese, I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, I know how this plays, and I'm more than happy to go along with that.
I get a letter dropped into my email every day from the New York Times, David Linhart, kind of giving an idea of what's going to be in the New York Times that day. And I found it interesting. He did refer to how China had used access to the world's markets to grow richer on its own terms, and then even added, a recent Times story puts it, China has adopted, quote, increasingly aggressive and at times punitive policies that force countries to play by its rules, and went on to, in fact, admit that Trump did grasp China's ambitions in ways his predecessors did not, treating it, China, exactly what it is, America's most serious threat since the Soviet Union. Even the New York Times is acknowledging that. I don't know if Biden acknowledges it still.
Well, there's that, and also, you know what, it's really cheap to acknowledge something that's true after it doesn't matter.
Good point. Good point.
I mean, where were they in, October?
I'm looking at a piece that is an op-ed from the New York Times written by Fu Ying, I believe, former ambassador, vice foreign minister of China, director of Center for International Security and Strategy. She's a served on Foreign Affairs Committee, so forth, extensive credentials. And she's saying that cooperative competition is possible between China and the U.S. Now, how would they see cooperative competition in your view? I know what she's saying.
Well, first off, let me just note, that was in the New York Times, the same New York Times that is outraged that they would publish a letter from a sitting United States senator. And they fired the editorial page person because they published Tom Cotton.
Senator
but apparently,
Tom
Madam
Cotton.
Fu Ying, that's perfectly okay.
Right.
So I think the New York Times' position is pretty clear. But I think what Madam Fu is hoping for is that we only compete in accepted ways. And so if the U.S. wants to criticize China, we can do so diplomatically. But we shouldn't, for example, go around telling everyone not to install Huawei systems because the Chinese might spy on them. And it's perfectly okay to, you know, wag a finger at them when it comes to threatening Taiwan. But arms sales to Taiwan of new equipment, such as the F-16Vs that have been approved by the Trump administration, that's going too far.
And you mentioned a moment ago, and her article concludes with what I assume she thought was a very salient point to add at the end, climate change is another area that needs urgent attention, as if that's something we can cooperate on. I mean, while we are busy looking at climate, look what's going on behind the curtain.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Chinese are not renowned for being altruistic. So when she says we should cooperate on climate change, the question is, what price are they going to demand?
Mm-hmm.
And what price are we willing to pay? And in the past, that seems to have included ceding the South China Sea to them, limiting our arms sales to Taiwan, limiting our criticism of China, accepting that they won't militarize the South China Sea, which they then promptly did, accepting the idea that China doesn't engage in cyber economic espionage.
Well, which brings us to the Hunter Biden connections with Ukraine and Daddy when he was VP, and the fact that his father was also overseeing China. And if there is damaging, extortionable material that China has on Hunter Biden, and we're not talking about made-up stuff. I mean, this is straight off of his computer and whatever else they have. How do you see blackmail being played by China or some kind of extortion against Biden administration? Is that a real threat or just something of scenarios, conspiracy theories?
Well, what little I've seen on this seems to suggest that the FBI has the original computers. And if that's true, the question is, what does our own FBI know? And what are they willing to inform the American public about? And will they inform the American public under a President Biden? Or will they feel that it's more important not to talk about... Now, if the computer's not in their hands, then the computer's not in their hands. But it sure seems like somebody has the original computer. And you would think that our fearless press, you know, defenders of the First Amendment, would also be out there trying to tell us, where is the thing?
No, we're not going to get any more. In fact, I have mentioned to this audience before that conservative talk radio, this program, it's going to be more important going forward than it has been in the last 4 years, because we have to be the voice that makes sure everything is put out front, not just what they decide is decent and acceptable.
Well, it's when everyone is worried about being decent and acceptable that the blackmailers have the ultimate upper hand.
All right, I agree with you. Ding, I want to thank you very much for your time. I think we probably cut in on already you trying to start your Thanksgiving holiday. The very best for you and your family on this Thanksgiving, sir.
Thank you, and the same to you and your listeners.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. Ding Chen with Heritage Foundation. Yeah, I think that's going to be a focal point, folks, going forward. I'm not talking about just the Hunter Biden thing. I'm talking about overall China and how this administration will be dealing with it. You don't think he would appoint Hunter as a special goodwill ambassador to China, do you? Let me think about it. Got some final thoughts coming up. We'll reference your Thanksgiving. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I mentioned earlier in the program, I did not cite the source, I always should do that, and I failed to. A CNBC poll found that only 3% of the Trump voters believe Biden is the legitimate winner. Only 3% of the Trump voters. And many are out there saying, well, it's just nonsense, you're making noise, it's all over with. Well, there is a hearing underway, it was going to be held, to look at the voting issues in Pennsylvania. The State Senate Majority Policy Committee was meeting today to do so. Well, a Pennsylvania court has issued an injunction blocking any potential further certification of election results in Pennsylvania, pending a hearing to be held Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. There's enough grounds and challenges, I guess, to say stop the certification. We'll see how that plays out. And, of course, this Thanksgiving is going to be different than any other you've had. COVID obviously making a major change for us. In case you missed it, if you're going into New York City, you've got friends or relatives, you're listening up there listening to us, or you've got them coming to see you, or you're planning on going in, sheriff and law enforcement be out in force. They're going to stop vehicles at certain New York City checkpoints, and they'll be looking for any violations of quarantine requirements. That's the way they're going to handle it in the New York City area. Many folks are deciding to stay home or limit their gatherings. Many are saying, no, I'll do what I've always done. Many are not going to travel by air. They're going to go by car because they feel safer just being in their own confines. I'm making a trip by air. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But I want to share something with you. And I started to pin something specifically for today, but I thought, this does it just as effectively. I can't quote a source by name on this, but Boots on the Ground reporter Andrew in Chicago sent it to me. It comes out of a job hiring group, or I should say a job placement group called Ladders. And somebody wrote a very interesting piece that I want to share. He sent it on to me, and I think it deserves repeating. And it begins, this week of Thanksgiving, we should give thanks for all of our blessings despite everything. 2020 is the greatest year ever for mankind. It goes on to talk about plagues and saying plagues come. We've had them regularly throughout world history, even in America. The worst ones wiping out 5 to 10% of the population of New York City in a flash. Talking about cholera, yellow fever, bubonic plague, and so forth. Then goes on to talk about, we had an election in the midst of all this, despite discomfort for those who had to wait long, as I did. We broke records. We did show our faith in the American system, at least by voting. Of course, whether it's not really done correctly. And that's the other issue, by the way, that Pennsylvania judge, he says the issue is these mail-in ballots. Did they meet qualifications? That could be very big coming up Friday, so we want to keep an eye on that. And this editorial commentary piece continues, as for famine, our modern miracle food system means we've all been able to eat, talking about we Americans, eat as many Pop-Tarts, apples, pork chops, Florida orange juice as we cared to, perhaps more than we should. For consumers, our most critical outages, and you see this going coming, the limited availability of wet wipes, toilet paper, and paper towels. Try calling that a hardship to a young corporal on a boat headed for Iwo Jima in the 1940s. And he adds, for real shortages of life and death variety, we responded quickly. PPE, ventilators, entire field hospitals materialized within months, not by magic, but by management and moxie. The negative effects also include putting 20 million out of work, but we've been able to bring back about half of them, and we're in progress of trying to do more, unless we have additional shutdown, I would add. And goes on to say, by being thankful does not mean we should not be troubled. That we should not be untroubled, I should say. Over 250,000 Americans have died from this virus. Losses are tragic, and we're going to see many more before this passes. And the hardships for those across the nation, businesses closing, jobs disappearing, bank accounts evaporating, those are all real. But then this piece from Ladders states, let's not let the tragedy we see prevent us from being thankful for the tragedy we averted. Good point. Does point out that this Thanksgiving week, sit with your family or sadly smaller gatherings than normal, but be thankful for the heapings of blessings we do have. That's really where we come with Thanksgiving, isn't it? You've had some troubles and problems, and I'm not even talking about this year, in the past. Anytime throughout a year, I mean, you just don't past any year probably without some kind of problems or troubles. It's time to be thankful that you came through them, and it's also a time to be thankful for what you did not experience. And sometimes that includes prayers not answered. You pray and pray, and I want this, and it doesn't happen the way you want. That's your answer, and in time you may learn, I should be thankful for prayers not answered. As for me and Quentin, we're going to take some time off. I'm flying out in the next couple of hours to Texas to see my brother, spend Thanksgiving with his family. I'll board a plane to do that. So the second hour coming up, because I had to catch a flight, will be a pre-recorded program from a previous, this would be November 11th of this month. And through the next couple of days, we're going to give you rebroadcast of some, we think, great programs. I'm sure you understand. I appreciate you understanding. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.